Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the final week of the Incredible series. While you remain standing, let's pray. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll begin. And if you're watching online, welcome to the bigger family. If you're good for it, let's stand up and pray. There's just something about standing up and praying. Sorry about that, each one of you. But let's stand up and pray. If you can't stand up, I'm good with it. Father, we thank you for the opportunity each time we come together. And as the word goes forth today, I believe it'll touch hearts, compel people, stir people, move people into living an incredible life, because there's so much more. And so wherever we're at, we know we can take a step forward into that more. We thank you in advance for all that you'll do. And everybody in agreement said?
Amen.
Well, I'm going to share a message today in line with the Incredibles. And, you know, it's great to have all these different steps that have been taking place, and different people have spoke on different things. And so now the finale, if you will, is I want to focus a bit on the life of Paul. And the title of my message is Workplace 007. Workplace 007. And the reason I'm doing this message is I think it'd be good to put application to what we learn. And so really, to be honest with you, this message today is for your Monday.
Yeah.
It's for your Tuesday. It's for your Wednesday. It's for your Thursday. It's for your Friday. And so I believe this is going to take you into the week to set you up for a win and to help you to be that which God wants you to be. Amen?
Amen.
I want to share a story before we go into the message. When my wife and I were in college, and we just moved back from South Africa, as Pastor Jeff has referred to earlier, and I had it on my heart to pioneer a church in my hometown, which is Albert Lea, Minnesota. Now, some of you are going to say, that is not an Albert Lea, Minnesota accent. True. That's called 20 years living in Australia. In fact, do you want me to speak in Australian today or Midwest English? All in favor of Midwest English, say aye. That wasn't too good. All in favor of Australian, say yay.
Yay.
Yeah, I think you win. All right. And so we went up to Albert Lea, and to be honest with you, I didn't really want to. How many of you ever did something you didn't want to? But you knew it was right, so you obeyed God. And so we went, and I'll never forget, I was looking to get some employment. And I wanted to get involved in the community. You know, one of the best ways to connect with people is to be in the workforce. You know, when you're homesick in bed, it's hard to impact people.
Right.
And so we were pastoring the church and all, but also was looking for work. And so, you know, we were renting this facility from a gentleman by the name of George Earhart. And in fact, he was very influential in Albert Lea. In fact, many said he was the richest man in that community. And I would later find out he definitely was. And so he was looking for someone to look after his gardens, cut the grass, do the whippersnipper. Remember, you wanted Australian. And so I was a whippersnipper, grass-cutting technician. But I come into George, and I said, I understand you're looking for someone to look after your properties, look after your gardens. I'm here to apply for it. He goes, yeah, that's fine. And he began to tell me what was involved and how much it passed. I said, you can stop right there, George, and all due respect, you are the boss, and I honor you for that, but you can't pay me the first week. He said, are you in charge or am I? I said, well, sir, you're in charge, but let me disqualify. I'm going to work for you for 1 week for free. You can't pay me because I won't receive it. And I said, but I'm going to work for 1 week. And if I don't do a better job than ever has been done before, I wouldn't expect you to hire me. But if you say the work is excellent, above average, I'll take the job. So I went out. He gave me all the equipment, you know, the truck and the riding lawnmower and the whippersnipper and all that. And I got busy. And after a week, I come back in the office on a Friday afternoon after I was done with everything, and I asked if I could come into George's office, and I come in. He goes, sit down, Tom. And he goes, what do you want to talk about? I said, well, remember last week we talked about whether you would hire me or not. He goes, yeah, I remember well. You're trying to tell me how to run this company. I said, yeah, I'm sorry. But I said, have you had a chance to check up on my work? He said, matter of fact, I have. I said, okay, tell me how I did. I'm open for correction. He said, it's the best we've ever had. He said, you do excellent work. You're hired. And he goes, in fact, I was going to offer you this much, but because of how well you do the work, I said, stop right there. I don't want a pay increase. I haven't worked for you yet. That was free. I want the salary you were going to give anyone else. He goes, man, you drive a tough bargain. I said, yeah, for me, it's more than the pay. It's the experience I get in doing it. And here's the deal. When we work somewhere, we're actually 007 agents. God actually wants to position us there to do something more than what you think it is. Because life provides money, but many times experience is so much more valuable than money. And let your motivation be that you want to be a person that makes a difference where you're at. Amen? So I want to talk today about our lives as individuals, applying what we're learning week in, week out in church to make a difference for other people. Because Jesus himself said that we're the salt, we're the light, and we're a mighty influence. We experience great joy and deep satisfaction when we serve the workplace with this kind of perspective. Can I get an amen? In fact, this is more than finding the perfect job. It's us knowing and experiencing God's will in our life so that we can make a difference and be used of God. So I want to share a few thoughts around this today. And if you wouldn't mind, turn your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm going to read a scripture from here. And let's just put a little bit of context into what's happening here. Here's Paul. You know, he's passionate about the things of God. He had a revelation about going forth and being and doing and allowing God to work through him. And for his faithfulness and his diligence, it got him thrown in prison. And so that's why Paul was in prison. But here's what I love about Paul. He gets sent to prison, but he doesn't complain. He doesn't moan. He doesn't feel sorry for himself. How many of us, we have just a little bit of a setback, and we forget that we have the incredible factor on our life that will actually see us through tough situations? It's called the God factor. Because what you can do is good, but what God will do through you is great. And so Paul's in jail, and he goes, I think I'll write a book called Philippians, which basically deals with exhortation, rejoicing, giving thanks. While he's in jail. And then he's like, I think I'll write a book to the church of Ephesus. And what I'm going to do there is I'm actually going to talk about the fact that these are believers that are rich beyond measure in Christ. In fact, he goes on to talk about adoption, acceptance, redemption, forgiveness, wisdom, inheritance, life, grace, citizenship. Every spiritual blessing is ours so that we can learn to walk in them. And this is Paul in prison. Now here's what he says. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road that God has called you to travel. Can I admonish you today? Can I encourage you today? That when you leave this place today, realize as you go into the workforce tomorrow, you have this incredible opportunity to make a difference in other people's lives. And so when I think of workplace strategy, I know when I say the word strategy, I get Pastor Beth's attention because she's such a strategist. Ever since we met each other in college, she's always had these plans and strategies and everything about how to do this, how to do that. Jeff and I would always show up and, you know, we're ready and all that, but she'd already had outlined everything for us. Strategy. It's a good thing. So when you think about workplace strategy, it's like to lift our life at work to a new level of purpose and influence that turns everyday work into a dynamic mission field. And I remember a few years back, I was walking across the shops at Hillsong Church. It's called Norwest Business Park, and there's restaurants and things. And in fact, when you guys are over visiting one of the times, I took you to Joey's Pizza. And Joey's been there about 19 years, and we've been supporting Joey for 19 years. Right from day one, for me, it's my favorite pizza. We've been going there so long, they've got a Tom's Special Pizza. It's not on the menu, but you can order it. In fact, your son does, and a lot of the other students. I'll take the Tom's Special. That's what longevity does. It just gives you special privileges, I guess. And so about 10 years ago, I was walking by Joey's one morning. It was, it was a Thursday morning. It was about 10:15 in the morning. He's getting ready to open up his business at 12 o'clock. He said, Tom, can I interrupt you for a moment? I said, yeah. What's going on, Joey? He goes, "Man, I've been watching you for all these years." He said, "You always have such happiness about you. You always, your shoulders are upright, and you just seem to be enjoying life." And you know, without even thinking about it, I just looked like I said, "Joey, well, think about my life. I get to go all over telling everybody that God's not mad at him, that he loves him, that he's for him, and that he has a plan for him. And you know what, Joey? You're so blessed. You're so favored. You're so special." Keeping in mind, he's not saved. "You're so valuable to God. He's got a purpose for your life." So I just walked away. That's what a 007 agent is. Just about the Father's business. Realizing that we're an epistle read of all men. Now, it's not too hard. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Holy Spirit. And so being a 00 agent, 007 agent for God, I want to talk about three things in the time we have remaining. First, I want to talk about serve God through our workplace. Everybody say that, serve God through my workplace. Number two, our workplace is a gift from God. Let's say it together. Our workplace is a gift from God. Did you say it? I was too busy talking. Did you say it? Let's say it together. Our workplace is a gift from God. You guys are good. And number three, our workplace is our mission field. Let's say it together. Our workplace is a mission field. Very good. You think of the Bible. You know, we're talking about working, the importance of work. Well, let's see what the Bible says about the workplace on this earth. You look at the life of Abraham. He was a rancher. He was a shepherd. Or you could even say he was rich and he was influential. You had Nehemiah was a cupbearer, or we might call him a butler. He had wisdom and he had administration abilities. David was a shepherd, and how he did the shepherding positioned him to lead a nation. Ruth was a gleaner. So in other words, she was a hard worker. Deborah was a judge. She ruled with wisdom. Luke was a doctor. He was a professional. Lydia was a businesswoman. She had an entrepreneurial spirit, and she had great influence in the community. And Joseph and Jesus were carpenters. They did pretty good too. In the workplace, 007 agents making a difference. Amen? Let's look at Colossians. Point number one, we're going to talk about serve God through the workplace. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22 to 24. Is everybody there? If you're there, say, "Got it." You guys are quick. A lot quicker than the Aussies. They're a bit slow down there, aren't they? Down under. Pretty chilled, aren't they? They're good people. They're my people. You know, I'm an Aussie citizen. On the 29th of April, my wife and I became proud Australian citizens. So now we have dual citizenship. So I know I'm from heaven, but I'm also from the United States of Australia. Look what it says here in Colossians chapter 3, 22 to 24. It said, "Bondservants," or other translations would say, "employees. Obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive a reward for your inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ." Look at five things that I polled, or subpoints, if you will, because we're on point one, but five things I've pulled out of the scripture when it comes to the workplace. Please write these down, because these are for your Monday. These are to help and encourage other people. You see, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the earth. You make a difference. But it's not always as much as what you say as it's who you be. You know, you think about an apple tree. It doesn't have a sign on it, apples. It just bees. And apples are produced. And people taste of the apple and they say, "This is good fruit. It tastes good. It's good for me." And that's who you are. You're like trees planted all around that people taste from. But number one, Or if you want to, let's say A, that might be better. Workers are servants. One who serves in obedience to another's will. You see, joy is found in making your boss successful. Your business successful. You serve with great heart for others and with humility. You see, sometimes in this day and age, it's like, no, it's about me. Yeah, it is about you. That's why Jesus died on the cross. But let's go beyond you to others. You see, when you work, it's about serving. It's having a servant's heart. I'm reminded of this time several years back. We moved to Australia when Tommy was 4 and Emily was 2.5 years old. And every Saturday, just like here in America, is soccer matches. Now, the Aussies and the Americans call it soccer, but can I present to you, it's actually football. But we do it the American way. We make it what we want, don't we? Because bless God, we run this earth anyway. Remember, I'm American too. And so we went to Tommy's soccer match. And afterwards, we went to Macca's. Because as you do, you can't beat the hot cakes on a Saturday morning for the kids. You don't have to mess up the kitchen at home. You just pull in, do whatever you want, have it, and then off you go. So we came in. We had two Macca's to choose from. Do you guys know what Macca's is, right? The Golden M? Remember, we're Australian. You got to stay with me. He said, speak Australian. And so we come in, and it's like any Saturday here in Kalamazoo. The lineup is right out the door. They're all there to get the hot cakes. And so we come in. I say, all right, Angela, you get in line with the kids. I'm going to go get us a table. So I look over to the side here. And there was two McDonald's we'd go to. One was the stand-up Macca, and the other one was the sit-down Macca. This day, we went to the sit-down one. And you can work it out. Ronald McDonald is standing up at the one, you know, whatever he's doing, waving. And the other one, he's sitting down, and the kids loved his lap. They wanted the sit-down one. So we're in here, and I look off. I see all these tables, and they're just trashed. Food, serviettes, wrappers, all on there. And the people just got up and left. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist, but when you realize that work is serving, it's not like you want a star, you need attention. You just meet the need. So I went up to the table, the first one. Sorry, first off, I went to the lady at the counter. She was a young 16-year-old, so I could kind of dominate her in love. You know, put a smile on your face and say, excuse me, hand me that rag. And before she could think about it, I said, oh, by the way, rinse it out too. And she hands it to me. And she's like, why am I giving this to you? I'll be right back. Don't worry about it. And so off I went, grabbed me a few serviettes so you could dry the table later. So I'm cleaning off the table, putting away all the rubbish, taking the serviettes, drying it off. So it's good to have a clean table, but you don't want a wet table. And then I went to the next one, cleaned it off, dried it off. Next one, I had about 5 tables cleaned off. You know, people, come sit here. All of a sudden, this guy, he's sitting right at the back wall to where the playground area is. He'd been observing this. I didn't know it. He stands up and comes over and says, hello, my name's Bert. I haven't ever met an old owner of a McDonald's. It's sure good to meet you. I said, what makes you think that I'm the owner of McDonald's? He goes, well, no one else would clean the tables. I said, no, I'm not the owner. We're here to eat at McDonald's. But I saw a need, so I served the need. He goes, are you a Christian? I said, guilty. And I said, but that's what Christians do, don't we, Bert? He goes, wow, you taught me a lesson today. Think about it. It's not hard. It's pretty simple. And the cool thing is, to this day, I still know Bert, and I've been able to influence his life and his family's life because of an act of serving. Number two, or B, workers are responsive. You see, we respond with the right attitude, like a doorkeeper who hears a knock on the door, immediately he comes to open the door. It's just his posture. You see, people win over other people in the workforce by a positive, responsive attitude. This isn't rocket science. I just made it my responsibility in life, wherever I'm at on planet Earth, if there's a mess, I fix it. I just do. I'm not looking for a reward from it. I just do because that's what you do, because I realize that workers are responsive. You don't know how many times, just second nature doing it, and people are like, why'd you do that? I did it for you. God bless you. Enjoy your day. Because I'm a 007 Asian going about graced by God, equipped of the Holy Spirit, strategic in my steps. Because I want to reach people. I want to share the goodness of Christ through my serving, through the work. See, workers are sincere. Sincerity of heart means simplicity. Work with all your heart and all your strength. You see, we think sometimes to be spiritual is to be woo-woo and weird. But I think about the life of Jesus. Let's do a bit of a true or false here. I'll give you the answer ahead of time so you can't get it wrong. But you think of spirituality. Possibly Jesus, and if I was going to guess on this one, I'd say true, but I won't give you the answer. But I was going to think about who was probably the most spiritual person that ever walked on planet Earth. Possibly it could be Jesus, or possibly it could be somebody else. If you think it'd be Jesus, say true. Good answer. You guys are good. But here's Jesus, the most anointed, the most spiritual person that ever walked on the earth. But you talk about simplicity. People were drawn to him because he was practical, he was authentic, he was normal, he was real. It's like, I don't know who this guy is, but I've got to touch him. I've got to get close to him. And see, workers are simplistic. They're simplistically anointed by heaven. You know, I could tell you story after story. Time doesn't allow today, but of the several thousands of people I've seen saved, not in ministry, not in crusades, not in gatherings like this, just day in, day out, a lifestyle of sharing the love of Christ. Because see, every day when I get up, one of my prayers is, Father, today, lead me across the path of the person closest to receive you. And so as a result, I see people saved every day. And it's a simple prayer, but I've given God permission to work through my simplicity that's anointed, that's spiritual, to see people's lives translated. I like what my team says. Now, it's probably a bit of a boast, so I'll get my reward here and I'll lose it in heaven. But most of my team, they'll say this. They'll say, Tom, we love hanging around you because you, everywhere you go, you just validate people and treat them as if they're Christian. They're not, but they just think they are because they're hanging around you. And then they want to be. Well, you just treat people the way you want them to become. Believe in people. You know, you're a believer in people, and God knows it, and he values you, he appreciates you, and your tongue is a tongue of a ready writer, minister, producer, revealer, because there's belief. Step into the God potential that's on your life, because you're marked for the good. So you can do that every day with people. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory. Just had a bit of a Reinhard Bonnke moment. Shakalaya, the devil's a liar, and you're on fire. Chula bakasi. All right. I'm back. Next. Workers are genuine. They don't have an ulterior or a double motive. They're faithful to help with right motives. People say, are you just trying to get something out of it? Yeah. I'm trying to get you to heaven. Yeah, well, what's your ulterior motive? Jesus loves you. He has a plan for you. There's greatness on you. Well, who are you to say it? I'm not that good. I'm not that clever. The Bible tells me so. I've seen the presence of God fall in restaurants, just any place you can imagine, airplanes, fire stations, general public. The anointing just come in such a simplistic way. People start to weep and they don't even know why they're weeping. Just being authentic, sincere, serving, believing, trusting. And see the power of God touch people and heal them. Didn't lay hands on them. Just from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, power of God just, what just happened? God healed you because he loves you. How cool is it to be an undercover agent that everywhere you go, you're carrying heaven with you? Yeah. Workers are devoted. They do what's within their heart with enthusiasm. They're loyal. They're affectionate. I wonder what would happen if you went out of here today and actually had a revelation of how much God loved you and how much he's for you and the plans he has over your life, and that if you promoted someone else, it wouldn't demote you. But everything I do that's in my hands, I'm trying to raise up people beyond me. So even at Macquarie, where I lead our campus, I'm constantly finding ways to get young leaders on the platform with me so they can see what I see. See, the reason a platform is here so you can see farther, wider, and deeper. What platform has God given you? I wonder if you could put someone on that platform with you and they could share in your expression, your experience, your authority, your anointing. All right, number two. A workplace is a gift from God. Now, point one's a lot longer, all right? So, just so everybody knows, if you're type A personality, I had you in mind. That was the longer point. All right, here we go. Think about this. Our workplace is a gift from God. I love what Ralph Waldo Emerson said. He was an essayist. He said, the sum of wisdom is that time is never lost that is devoted to work. George Bernard Shaw, a playwright, said this, the harder I work, the more I live. I love work. I always have. My dad taught me to be a hard worker. Work's a blessing. Work's a gift. Work positions you. Work puts you in the workforce. Work gets you around people. Work allows you to evangelize, not with your message, with your life. Sometimes it is a message on your own time. Colin C. Barrett, an executive with Southwest Airlines, says, work is either fun or a drudge. It depends on your attitude. I like fun. Yeah, but you don't know what my work's like. Yeah, but you don't know my God and how he anoints people. I know hard work. I worked on the railroad to put myself through college. And I was the guy that drove spikes into the ties and helped insert ties with the machine. I did the back brake job. I asked for it. Every year when I'd come to the rail, I'd say, hey, I get the tie pusher, the tie inserter. They said, no, nobody wants the tie inserter. I said, no, thank you, I'll take it. That's what I did. All through the summer, I'd be out in the half down in the ditch and half up, put this thing around the tie and then drive it in, go to the next. All day. So they would ask me every once in a while, do you want to stop and take a break? Because basically, it's a back breaker. I said, no, keep going. I'm good. Are you guys good back there? Yep. Yeah, I'm good. Just keep going. Hard work's a good thing. It's a blessing. Look for it. Don't run from it. Normally, if someone doesn't want it, I say it's mine. Because there's great opportunity where the hard work is. I love what it says in Ecclesiastes 2 and 24. Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. Then chapter 3 and verses 13 says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. It is a gift from God. Are you getting this? Are you understanding this? Don't disqualify by the exception. See the rule. Sure, within this, there's always people that deal with handicapped situations or challenges to health. I understand. I'm not talking about that. That's why we have compassion for that. But I'm just talking about the everyday, normal person that has the ability to think and function and work. You see, when you find a job that aligns with your talents and responsibilities, with gifts and achievements, then work is no longer work. It's worship. It's fun. That's why I don't envision ever retiring. My mom was talking to me about retirement. I said, Mom, to be honest with you, to me, ministry is not a job. It's a calling. It's a gift that's been put on my life. I'll never retire. Maybe slow down a bit, but I don't want to stop loving on people. Valued people, encouraging people. You know what I mean? Yeah. And number 3. Everybody still good?
Yeah.
Still happy?
Yeah.
Still love the Lord?
Yeah.
Still ready to reach your community?
Yeah.
Kalamazoo is waiting on you. And everywhere I go, it's like, oh, I go there. I'm just out for a walk this morning at 6 a.m. and I meet someone. Oh, yeah, I go to that big church. There are a lot of people there. Almost 2 minutes, I says, now there needs to be more. It's like, oh, okay. Just educate people. Help them. And I check into the hotel, and sure enough, talk to Andrea. And, oh, yeah, I go there. I'll see you tomorrow. I realize, man, I'm going to have to live right around here because people will know. I was going to have a triple shot cappuccino. Now, I'll wait. They probably go to Valley Family. Nah. Number 3. Everybody say number 3. Our workplace is our mission field. Look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:12. That you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. See, our mission is the workplace. You think about it practically. We'll do anywhere from, give or take, 38 to 50 hours a week. We're divinely placed in God to be around unreached people groups in society. You know, I broke it down a little bit more. I began to look at how many people we actually come in contact, what kind of impact we'll have. So you look at the typical person right here this morning. You'll come in contact with 20 different people in any given week. So let's just say there was 500 people here. We've got the potential to influence 5,000 people next week in the workforce. Let's think bigger. If we are 5,000 people here this morning, and one day it will be that, each week we have the potential to reach, impact, touch 100,000 people. Let me share a story with you in concluding. A team, if you want to come up here. When I graduated from Bible college, I went to work for SunTech Communications. And the guy in charge there, his name was Bill. And so he knew I was from Rhema. The guy that hired me was a Christian. He didn't go to Rhema, but he was a Christian there. And I got the job. And so I always did my best to represent well. And, you know, early to arrive, late to leave, always encouraging, always upbuilding, always endeavoring to be a confident, a positive influence. And so one day I hear Bill. I probably shouldn't tell this because nowadays with YouTube and everything else it gets out. But let's just say he wasn't saying pleasant words that would make you think, oh, he's worshiping God right now. I think Bill would be okay with that. And so I come into the office and I went up alongside him. Can I use you as a prop? Is that all right? We're going to go with the C, all right? You got it? See, I know music stuff too. They taught me that at Bible college. But here's Bill sitting at his desk. And I come up alongside him. And see, what I did is I put my hand on him like this. But under my breath, I'm saying, I bind this headache in Jesus' name. Because he was complaining about a splitting headache. Leave his body now in Jesus' name. Under my breath. And I just walked away. And as I'm getting out the door, Bill said, Tom, stop! Come, look at me. I said, yeah. He goes, what did you just do? I said, what are you talking about? I came up and patted you on the shoulder to encourage you. He goes, did you pray for me? I just kind of smiled and walked away. A little bit later, he says, Tom, come into my office. I said, we're talking about workplace 007. He said, I've been watching you. You're always early, always encouraging, always positive. You work hard. You leave late. You're low maintenance. You're uncomplicated. I decided I'm going to take my wife to church this Sunday. This is Friday. Because I want to find out more about that God you serve. This is him. I didn't say it. So we left. It was Friday. Monday, I come back to the office. He says, Tom, come here, I want to talk to you. He said, my wife and I went to church yesterday. And we both responded to the altar call. And we're Christians now. You see it? Come on, let's everyone stand up. Workplace 007.